Welcome to Finding God's Grace with Catholic storyteller, author, and Hall of Fame broadcaster Tony Agnese. Join Tony and his guests as they share experiences of God's extraordinary grace in their lives. Now, here's your host, Tony Agnese.
Hi, this is Tony Agnese, and welcome to this edition of Finding God's Grace. We've got two great guests for you today on the program. We're going to begin by talking with Marge Fenelon, a Catholic wife, mother, author, and columnist, and a great speaker, and a frequent contributor to a number of Catholic publications. She's written several books about Marian devotion and Catholic family life, and we're going to be talking about her latest book, Imitating Mary, 10 Marian Virtues for the Modern Mom. Then in the second half of the show, we'll be joined by Connie Rosini. Connie is the author of Trusting God with St. Therese, and she's got a free book coming up, 5 Lessons from the Carmelite Saints That Will Change Your Life. We'll be talking about both of those projects with Connie Rosini in the second half of the show, right here on today's edition of Finding God's Grace. Marge Fenelon is a Catholic wife, mother, and author. She's a columnist and speaker. She's a frequent contributor to a number of Catholic publications and websites. She has her own website, margefenelon.com, and she's appeared on EWTN and has been on several Catholic radio morning shows. Written a number of books on Marian devotions and Catholic family life, and we're going to talk with Marge about her current project and her latest book. And Marge, welcome. It's great to have you here on Finding God's Grace.
Oh, it's great to be here, Tony. Thanks so much for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. We were just joking before we went on the air about your book, When's God Gonna Show Up, that we did a little book study on back in, I think, 2009. So I feel like I already know you.
Oh, that's good. You know, people say that about that book because there's so much personal experience in that. And it, you know, I didn't think of it, to tell you the truth, as I was putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't, you know, as a new author at that time, at least new to books, you don't have that experience of looking back and knowing how your books are going to be received. So I've had strangers come up to me and tell me about how they know my family so well, and they would mention names.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a little creepy, but very wonderful all at the same time, because it's like, wow, I really put myself out there. But it's been great and fruitful, and I still get people coming back to me about that book and remembering the funny little interesting ways that God shows up in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy I did it, but that was a very interesting initiation into the world of book authorship for me.
What struck me immediately about the book was the title. I was at my favorite Catholic bookstore, St. Raphael's in Canton, Ohio, and there it was, and when's God going to show up? How did you come up with that title? What was your motivation? Or was there a certain story that kind of triggered that title?
Well, I had nothing to do with that title. That actually came from my middle son, who at the time was about 5 years old. We had taken the kids to Eucharistic adoration. Now that was nothing. It was nothing new for us to do that. But they were all at the ages where we felt like we had 4 children. So they're all, I think our youngest was not yet born, but they were all very little. And Luke, our middle son, at about 5 years old, and we had tried very hard to explain this amazing mystery, which even adults have a hard time grasping, about what Eucharistic adoration is and what's going to happen, and Jesus is going to be there, and we'll see him. He'll be right there for us. We can tell him how much we love him, and so on and so forth. And so we're sitting there, and the deacon had just finished the rosary, and it was just beautiful. It was very quiet. Everyone was silently praying, and suddenly Luke starts tugging on Mark's shoulder, my husband's shoulder. Dad, Dad, Dad. And Mark's trying to quiet him down, and he won't be satisfied for anything. He's pulling, Dad, Dad, Dad. Finally, Mark leans over. What is it? And then Luke, very loud, way too loud, shouts out, when's God going to show up? My heart sunk. I thought 2 things. First of all, I was fully embarrassed because everybody was turned around staring at us. But at that moment, I was thinking, I failed completely. He doesn't get it. He has no idea that Jesus is right there. And then how do you explain to this little boy that our Lord is actually in that little glass capsule that's mm-hmm. embedded in the monstrance? It was just stifling to me. to try to figure that out. And, you know, now after time, of course, Luke came to understand, but that funny little calling out and moment of embarrassment became the crux of the book because, you know, I think we all find ourselves having those moments throughout our lives. I still do. I still do, and I've been writing for years and years and doing my best to increase my faith and knowledge of our Catholic faith, but I still have those moments where everything seems to be going wrong or something funky happens. I don't understand, and it's you just wonder, when's God going to show up, but where is he? Mm-hmm. And so that's the book. That's the title.
I know in my own faith journey, when I became more open to Christ's presence in my life, I could sense God way more visibly active, and I know he was always active. I just kind of was not open to that. Do you find with most adults that's the case?
I do, and I hear that. I love to give. I do that as a retreat, the when's God going to show up topic, and I love it when people get into discussion and then come up to me after, because what happens is I believe, and what I'm hearing anecdotally from the people that I speak to and who have read the book, is that we tend to rationalize these moments. We all have them, and we all have them all the time. And this is my premise for doing this retreat, is to help people to stop rationalizing and be more open to God, because in this rational world, we want proof. We want it somehow documented, or we want to be able to Google it, or you know, or whatever. We want solid, concrete proof. Mm-hmm. that this is what's happening. This is God present in our lives. Well, there isn't always proof, and especially when it's one of those moments where you just sense his presence, or you realize, you know, this couldn't have happened only by human power. There has to be something else at work here. And so this is what I'm finding that people are doing, and then when you open them up to the possibility, and that's what the book is, a series of essays, as you know, because you've read it. It's to show people, but here, right here, here he is again, and here he is again, and here he is again and again. And so that they could at least see through the experiences of myself and my family members and friends that this is how it works. And it's very subtle, and it's something that only you know deep inside, only you sense. And it doesn't matter if anybody else believes you or not. If you get that feeling that that's God working in your life, that he's present, that he's calling out to you, that's really God.
We tend to think of miracles as being big and, fireworks going off and things happening. And I think we have to kind of zero in. And oftentimes these God touches in our lives are very subtle. We just have a sense, and we know that they're there. They're not. I always talk about, as a storyteller, you remember things big. You remember something small that happened, but you remember it big. And some of these very subtle things, a rainbow in the sky, a certain song comes on the radio when you're praying about something. Something happens, and it may be you're the only one that might believe it, but it's just subtle, but it's God touching you in that way. Do you think that sometimes we are too expecting of the fireworks and the earth parting and all of those types of things when we think in terms of miracles?
I think we're like that most of the time, and that's why we miss these beautiful little moments. You know, I could think of one time when I had something really pressing on my heart and soul, and trying to figure it out and trying to kind of struggle through it on my own without turning to God as I should have, and the vacuum cleaner broke. It was just a day where everything was going wrong, but the vacuum cleaner broke, because it was like the last straw for me, and I just popped my cork. I was very, very upset. So I grabbed the thing, and I'm taking it to the repair shop. Well, on the way to the repair shop, I turned on Catholic radio and happened to hear look at me, I'm even using the wrong word, because it didn't happen. God purposely had that moment occur for me where there was a priest talking about exactly what I needed to hear to get through this situation that was so difficult for me. Mm-hmm. That's not an accident. people would, oh, isn't that a funny coincidence? There's no such thing. This was God specifically through this radio show answering my need for guidance. Those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about in that book. Those are the little moments when God shows up, and oftentimes we miss it. Most people, I think, and even I probably would have if I'd not been thinking about it later, would have just brushed that off as, boy, that was kind of cool. That was a nice coincidence. It wasn't. That was really God at work there.
God at work. It reminded me of a story. One particular morning, not feeling well, and I'm at Mass, and I'm going to communion, and I said to myself, God put somebody in my path today that you can help through me, but you're going to have to hit me in the head because I'm kind of not with it today. And so later that day, I was making a deposit at the bank, and I couldn't help but over here in the next teller window, some young girl was $1.43 short or something to being able to pay this particular bill that was due that day. And I just happened to get change from my transaction, and I think it was $2. And I walked out of the bank, and I went to get in my car, and the sun visor hit me right in the head. And I said, wow. And I got out of the car and went back in and gave the girl the $2. To help her get her $1.42. She gave me a hug. The teller gave me a hug. I got back in the car, and I put the visor back up, and it hasn't fallen since. Now, most people would say that was a coincidence, but not for me. Not for me. Well, we set up an interview to talk about your new book, and we have just spent most of our time talking about one from 2009. Your new book is called Imitating Mary, 10 Marian Virtues for the Modern Mom, and I'm fascinated with that title as well. You know, most of us think we know Mary in a way, but do we really get to know her and her life and what it must have been like day-to-day, just being a mom what can we learn from that? That's kind of the nature of the book. Tell us how you came about that.
That book was many years in the making, and I now am thoroughly ashamed to say I ran from the Blessed Mother for many years because I sensed that I needed, in order to round out who I am as a Catholic author and what I think God is asking of me in the time that he's giving me on this earth to use my words to reach out to people, I could sense very strongly I need to write a book about the Blessed Mother, somehow, something. But this was so intimidating to me, Tony, that I honestly, literally, I hid from it. I wouldn't even allow this to come into my prayer because I thought, she is so amazing. How could I possibly even begin a book like that? And also, there are many, many amazing books out there already about our Blessed Mother. And I thought, what could I possibly add to the long list of Marian titles that are already out there, many of them by experts in Mariology? What on earth do I have to give? All right, well, as I said, it went on and on and on, and finally it got to the point where I was going to boil over in the sense that I knew this had to happen. And one of my, as I'm praying and I'm thinking about the book, I dug very deep, and I thought, okay, so what do I have to say about her? And one of my personal joys is meditating on the Blessed Mother as she lived and breathed on this earth. And I think that we don't, in general, get quite enough of that. As a product of, you know, I grew up in the post-Vatican II era where people were, figuratively speaking, throwing the Mary statues out the window. And I don't know if you've experienced that, Tony, but I know many of my peers have, where there was this kind of interesting little thrust in which there was some misunderstanding about Mary's role, and people started to push her aside. But then there was the other extreme I was seeing, and that there were the people who hung on to Marian devotion to the point that it became, I don't want to say extreme because I don't think we can love her enough, but in the sense that we put her on such a high pedestal that we couldn't get to know her very well. She was this way too holy figure that we couldn't relate to in any way. And I wanted to try to hit some middle ground with this. She definitely is deserving of our veneration. Absolutely. But she was a real woman, and she had a child. She bore a child. She knew hunger. She knew poverty. She knew oppression. She knew all of these different things that we experience in our lives. And she still knows, because she's still with us. She's lived it, and now she knows how to reach out to us in those same situations. And this was the seed of the book, was to bring her alive. The challenge to myself was to make, I wanted by the time my readers were done with the book, they could actually imagine themselves, literally actually, sit down and have a cup of tea with the Blessed Mother.
Wow.
Sitting across from them.
We're going to go into this a little bit more. Excuse me for jumping in there, Marge. We're going to go into this a little bit more with our guest, Marge Fenelon, Catholic author, and we're going to do that in just a moment.